Well, this has certainly been an unusual year. How many of you can say amen to that in a lot of our lives? And it's had a lot of really roller coaster rides. The Lord spoke to my heart last year, right about this season, and He told me that it was going to be a riding the rapids year, and that we were going to literally, we'd have to learn how to maneuver in dangerous places. And if we would learn how to maneuver in dangerous places, God would bring us through, and there would be a sense of exhilaration also in the sense of God being able to lead us and to guide us in places that we'd never gone to before. And Bill, it's been that year for you, hasn't it? It really, really has. And I was just thinking how exhilarating it is. On one issue, as I look back over this year, it's been a lot of heartbreak. It's been a lot of heartache. There's been a lot of time of intercession. There's been a lot of time of believing God. But in the same process, there's this exhilarating sense because we literally feel closer to the Lord. And I feel like God has placed some strategies into our life that we've never had before. And so I'm expecting this next year to be a complete turnaround of what this past year was. I believe the enemy has done everything that he could do to stop you. And he's done everything that he could do to hurt you and to bring damage to you. But everybody say, but God has been faithful. But God has been faithful to see you through. Even though there's been many of you have walked through some very, very dangerous times and some hard times, God has been faithful and God has kept you. Amen. And for us to not to believe there will be those seasons is for us to not to believe the Bible. Because Paul and all of the disciples and the apostles went through extremely hard, difficult seasons. And they went through times where they were in danger, Paul said, in sparing on my own life. And so they went through those. But God was faithful. And in one place, I love Paul, that his escape came down to holding on to a board in the midst of a storm. But because he was willing and heard God, God provided that board for him. How many of you feel like this year I just had some boards too that I just had to hold to for God to bring me through? But now God, this is a season. Everybody say, this is a season. That's what you've got to keep telling yourself. If you're still in the midst of difficulty, you've got to keep telling yourself, this is a season. This will pass because the Lord is desiring to bring us into a much more wonderful season than we had known in the past. So God's going to help us do that. That's why the Lord began to inspire my heart back several months ago to begin to teach people to be able to walk in the arena of the supernatural, because God has really called us to a higher level of blessing, but He's also called us to a higher level of life. And before usually things turn into blessing, God first calls you to a higher level of life by faith. And it's like you climb up this ladder with God and you get into this higher position. And the things that are around you don't seem to have changed. But as you hold your position, that's what God told Jehoshaphat, is that just hold your position. And so Jehoshaphat held his position, and as he held his position, God defeated the enemy completely for the glory of God. So the Lord's really wanting to do some wonderful things, and so God's going to help us. So if you're still in the midst of that battle, just keep telling yourself, this is a season, this will pass. God's fixing to do some wonderful things. In fact, I was told several months ago that I was told to not trust the things, that they were not as they appeared. And I tell you, that's been one of the most wonderful words to me, because that it is not as it appears, and it's not as it feels, and it's not as it seems. See, the enemy does pretty good at elaborately laying out such damage in our life. But I believe God's called us to call those things a lie. And God's called us to a higher level, to where that we put our faith in God. And we don't give those things validity and right to be in our lives. Amen? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how to live a supernatural life. We're going to talk to you today about God calling us up. Now, Stephen and Lane did a wonderful job last week in talking about the glory of God. And that's what I'm talking about again today. We're going to look further. I'm going to hopefully give you 9 points to just kind of help us to move on into a greater glory of God. But they did a wonderful job. And Crystal and I were in El Dorado, and Lane and Stephen were here to share about what the glory of God is and how important the glory of God is in our life. I truly believe that this is to be a year of the greater glory. I really do believe. I believe this is to be a year. That's what God's plan for us. If we will cooperate with God, put our faith to work, I believe that this is going to be a year, literally, of the greater glory. Now, the book Exodus chapter 24, verse 12. He'll give you several scriptures, so you may just jot down scriptures as we walk through this morning. It said, "Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain." And I really believe that's the word of God that the Lord's speaking into our life. And that's why I want to end this year on that note. God is calling us to come up to Him. A lot of times we feel we're high as we can get, or we're where, but God said, no, I want you to come on up to me in mountain. I want to talk to you about God's glory. Now, although that Stephen and Lane did a wonderful job of talking to us and describing to us what is God's glory, I want to spend just a moment in that description again. Let us know what is the glory of God. Now, in the book of Exodus, Moses said, God, show me your glory. In explanation to that, God said, I will let you see my goodness. Because literally, God's glory is God's goodness into our lives. When you talk about God manifesting His glory, you're just not talking about a weird cloud or a sense of spray or a sense of smoke. And we've had most of that here in this building. That's God would literally make Himself known through physical appearance. There's been times where I would come down from here and people say, I saw an angel standing behind you all during the service. Well, that is just manifestations of God's glory. But literally, God's glory is everything good that He brings into our life. Now, God wants us to be able to walk out and look into the heavens and just see the glory of God. But for much of the world now, that's not what they do. They don't walk out and give God glory. They don't look up and see the stars and give God the glory. But what God says, I want my goodness to be able to pass in front of your life so that you can see my glory. In fact, God's glory is when God in heaven steps into earth. But it's not only His act that He does, it's the reason that He does it. When God brings His glory into your life, not only is it God helping you and miraculously bringing things to you, but there's a sense of awe in it when God's glory. God's good. There's a sense of recognition that this is called as God loves me. Now, a lot of times God's doing things for people and they never either ever change their idea of God. I mean, God will be so good to people and then something bad will happen. They'll turn around and say, why did God do that bad? Because they have no understanding of Scripture. Not only do you have a good God, you've got a bad devil. And not only do you have a God that wants to bless you and help you, you've got a God, you got a devil that wants to use everything he can to bring harm into your life. But everybody say, I know I serve the greater one. And that's where God's glory comes in. All right, now we have a goal in our mission. Now our goal is to make it to heaven. But our mission is to have heaven on earth. Each one of us, our mission in this life is for us to bring heaven into earth. Our goal is for us to go to heaven. But our mission is to be able to bring heaven into earth. That's why right in the midst of the Lord's Prayer, we're to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is within us. God desires each one of our lives to come into a place of faith and trust in the Lord, to literally we're God's doorway into this world. And literally what God has established as right in heaven begins to be right in here. For example, there is no sickness in heaven. And that's why God wants to be present himself into your life as a healer, as a deliverer. There's no hardness in heaven. And that's why God deals with your life over being gentle and kind and tenderhearted. Because God desires heaven to be into earth. And so you are God's footprint, so to speak, or you are God's step into this earth. A lot of times we say, God, you just come on us, and we're looking out here like we're wandering around looking for a cloud to come and appear. When God, literally, God's entrance into this world is through you. It's in your heart. That's the way God wants to do it. And so God wants to bring greater glory into our life by doing that. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, the reason the Son of God was made manifest or was made visible was to undo, I love what the Amplified says, was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works of the devil. So why is God, why is he manifesting himself? Why is his glory, why does he want his glory in your life? Because God wants his power in us to be able to destroy, to loosen, and dissolve the works that the devil's tried to do against us. Amen? Literally, God wants this expression to be in earth. The devil has been defeated, and God wants in each of our lives for us to allow his glory to manifest in us and through us to where that we literally can stomp the head of that snake. Can you say amen? All right, then let's go back to Exodus and Moses going up the mountain. God said, come up to me. All right, then in Exodus chapter 24, verse 15, said, then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now, I want you to get this little visual in your mind, if you would. I want you to see a cloud coming down on the mount. And God's called the people to come to him. The people immediately, when they see God's glory, they immediately become afraid. And they say, Moses, you go up. You go up for us. Now, the people themselves, they saw a certain degree of manifestation of God's glory. But God's glory has different degrees of manifestation. There's different degrees of God's powerful glory. Now, some people are just satisfied watching the cloud glory or watching. And that's the group of people that totally misunderstand God. They see God from afar off. They see God, you know, God has healed you, but I can't depend on him to heal me. Or God has helped you, but how can I depend on him? I feel like I got to do this myself. And that's the view of the people that watch the glory of God from afar off. But God has a much greater degree of glory for us. Because those people that watch the glory of God from afar off, they get confused about God. They said, hey, we can't go to him. It will kill us to go up to that mountain. And they said, so Moses, you go for us. I want to tell you, there are people with horrible views of God. There's people that see God. In fact, over the past few days, over the last five days, someone came to me and they said, why did God do all these horrible things on earth? Why does God allow the starvation? And why does God allow the disease that's in this earth? Well, immediately I knew that's somebody that really didn't know the heart of God. That was somebody that had viewed a cloud afar off. They knew enough to believe in God, but they didn't know enough to have a heart toward God. Amen. And so then the Bible says, then Moses went up and to the mountain. Jeremy, I need you to help me. This thing is messed up on me. I'll go. All right, and then the next verse 17 says, but to the Israelites at the foot of the mountain, the glory of the Lord appeared at the summit like a consuming fire. That's the people that see the glory of God from afar off. What they saw God, they said, God will consume me. If I get close to God, it's going to consume me. It's going to destroy my life. And you fail to realize that moving to a close place with God will allow real life to really begin in our life. Amen? Hey, Jeremy, can you come help me? That fast you can move? Are you on turtle speed this morning? It's, I don't know what it's done, but if you would, because I need it, because this other one, they don't know. All right, then, all right, go to point two up there, if you would. All right, now, God's greater glory. Not only does God have glory, where God begins to manifest himself, but God has a greater glory. Somebody say a greater glory. And that's where we're desiring for this year to be. I don't want to just view God from afar off. I don't want to just believe in God. Because the Bible says that the devils even do that. I don't want to have a wrong view of God. I don't want to see God from afar off and just see him as a consuming fire. I want to know God on a much more real personal basis. And that's why in the next verse, verse 18 says, then Moses disappeared into the cloud as he climbed higher up the mountain. I tell you, there is such a close place in God's glory. God's glory has these wonderful degrees of glory to where that what we're experiencing right now, I'm going to tell you what God's got far more for you. You may say, Jerry, I'm just handling this the best I can. Well, I want to encourage you. There is a closer place in God. You know, he says, Jerry, I'm just running out of strength. I just can't keep my right. I can't keep my right focus. There is a closer place in God. And what each one of us have got to realize, there is a higher part of the mountain that we can go to, because God's glory that's manifested, there is a closer place that we can find. Can you say amen? All right. Praise God. Right, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 says it this way, talking about the greater glory. It says, for the glory of the first no longer seems to be glory because of the greater glory of that which comes after. Now, this tells about that the greater glory. When you begin to move into the greater glory of God, the greater manifestation of God's goodness in your life, it almost seemed like the glory that you had before did not even seemingly exist. Now, let me show you a big representation of that. A big representation, I want you to think about the Old Testament. I want you to divide them. I'm going to take the time and divide it into three little categories here for you. I want you to think about the glory of God in the Old Testament. I want you to think about God coming down on the mountain. I want you to think about the glory of God. I want you to think about the smoke that appeared. I want you to think about the glory of God that filled the temple. The Bible says that where the priests could not even stand up underneath that degree of glory. But let me tell you, how much greater glory does the New Testament have? Because the Bible says that that glory that appeared as a cloud, now that glory is able to fill our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. What they could just see as afar off, we're now filled with. We fail to realize that the very God that walked out on nothing and spoke everything into existence. This universe is so vast and so big, and the God that created all of that now resides in your heart. I tell you what, that glory of that Old Testament has don't even be compared to the glory of this New Testament. I want to tell you that we got another stage too. I want to think, how glorious is this heaven going to be? Heaven is going to be so glorious that this life would feel like we don't have glory. The next step from this life to heaven, that glory step will be just the same degree as it was when it went the Old Testament, New Testament. I can't even see how a person served. I can't see how they walked under the Old Testament covenant. When I read the Old Testament, I feel so sorry for people that had to walk underneath that. Now think, what a glorious cloud that we have. And what a glorious Lord that we have. And what grace that we have in this New Testament. But I'm going to tell you what, there is going to be another greater glory. And there's going to be a greater glory that's going to move us right into heaven. Praise God. Amen. For the glory of the first no longer seems to be. There is a much greater glory. And I believe it's just as our hearts begin to say, God, I want your see your glory. I want to say, God's got to begin with a work of desire in our life. The third thing is, there are the different degrees of that glory. You've got to know, if I was to apply numbers to the degree of glory, I could possibly apply these numbers. All right, let's say that the glory of God that fills all the earth. Let's give that a number 5. The glory of God that fills all the earth. All right, then I want to talk about the glory of God that happens in here. When we begin to worship and praise God, all of a sudden the presence of God increases. Let's say it moved from a 5 to a 10. And all of a sudden when we begin to worship and we begin to praise God, the glory of God's presence gets stronger. And then there are those in here that don't just praise and worship God. You have a deep worship of God. And you find an intimacy in the midst of worship that some of us just look at and we so desire. I tell you, I watch people worship God. And there's a sense of experience that happens in the midst of worship that we all look at and we all so much desire. And let's say that level of glory went up to 15. And then there's a level of glory that where God begins to manifest himself and healings begin to take place. And let's say that level of God's presence moves up to a 20. And then there are those presence of God, there are those glory levels to where every person there is healed. That happened with Jesus, where it says they were all healed. And there's glory levels that where the enemy no longer can operate against you, and the power over the devil comes so strong, the Bible said that the demons would just literally run and scream. Each one of these levels of God's glory is a greater deepening measure of Himself. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There is a level of glory to where no flesh could be there. There is a level of, when I think about the God that created the great God, the universe, I think about all that came out of God. And then, but I do know this, that the level of God, that the level of God's glory that was found in Jesus Christ is the level of God's glory that God is revealing into our life. But if you can just begin to see that the levels of God's glory increases, and that's what our desire is. You may see God from afar off, but I want to invite you to find some place to enter into a closer place with God. And as you do, you will sense the presence of God begin to get stronger in your life. A lot of times people come and they say, Jerry, I don't know why I didn't get healed. I always know the answer for that. I know the answer to that for my life, and I know the answer to that for your life. It's because we need a greater presence. We need a greater glory of God. There is levels of glory where everything that's written in His Bible is true. And then there is that level of glory where I can just see it afar off. But what I believe God wants us to do this year is to begin to experience those greater levels of His glory. Wherever it is in our life, whatever it is that you need, whatever it is that you're experiencing, I do believe God wants us to be able to experience those greater levels. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says, "For our present trouble, which is only for a short time, is working out for us a much greater weight of glory." I see, that's a different way to look at struggles. A lot of times we say, why is this struggle here? Because this struggle is going to defeat me. That's not the purpose that God has that struggle in your life. Whatever you're going through, whatever that trial of your faith, see, we say, well, this, I can't get ahead in life. I can't get my foot above the water. I can't get this thing working. We're looking at it from one view, and God says, I'm just wanting to reveal a greater level of my glory. God's anticipation is whatever struggles that we're facing that will cause us to seek Him on a greater level. And as we move into His presence, it's not that God doesn't want to help us. As there is greater measures of it that we must come into. That's why God constantly has the invitation going out, come, come, come. All through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, a constant invitation is the word come. Because God is inviting us into that closer place where each one of our needs or each one of our problems will dissolve in His presence. In that degree of God's great glory. Amen. Number four, God prepares us through a stronger desire. One reason that we, each one of us, experience needs is because God, there's a desire in us. There's something inside. God built in each one of us this desire for a greater measure of Him. Now, from the day I got saved, there was innate belief in me that God could do anything. And I dare say that was in you. God puts that in each person, each believer, when they come to the Lord. Each person has that sensation inside of them that there's nothing that God can't do. Now, through processes of years, we learned, well, God can't do this and God can't do that. We think, see. But in the original of its heart inside of us, God put that strong desire in us to be close to Him. And if we would get close to Him, there's nothing He couldn't do. And there's nothing He can't change. And there's nothing He can't turn around. And there's nothing He can't untie. And there's nothing He can't unlock. There is nothing that God cannot do. Amen? In that sense. So our hearts desire that greater measure of glory. And I just simply ask you, how much glory do we want? That's a question we have to determine. How much glory of God do we want in each of our lives? Do we want the amount of glory that it will take to change our life? Do we want the amount of glory that it will take to produce happiness and joy? Do we want the degree of glory that it will take to bring healing and provision into our life? The question is not to God. It's not, God, why will you not? The question is to us, how much glory do each one of us want? The fifth thing I want to mention, we're prepared through stronger faith. God prepares us for stronger degrees of glory by building stronger faith in each of our lives. And what our heart is to say, Lord, is help me to believe, to see a greater measure of Your glory. Now, there were people that was at the bottom of that mountain that day. They said, Moses, you go up. We're afraid to go up. But Moses had this desire to see that greater glory with God. So Moses began that walk up that mountain to come into that closer place with God's glory. And I want you to know, that is the challenge in all of our life. We can stay as far from God as we want, or we can live as close to God as we want. Amen. And God said, that's what the testing of our faith. The testing of our faith is to allow a greater measure of God's glory. Now, Romans chapter 4, verse 20, it says that. It said, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. That's a wonderful statement about somebody. Amen. He never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. The more opposition, the older Abraham got, this scripture says, his faith grew stronger. The more it looked like his miracle was not going to happen, the more he believed it was going to happen. But what did that type of faith produce? Is that in this, he brought glory to God. Because he allowed his faith. The more he could not see it happening, the more he believed it was happening. And the Bible said that's what would bring great glory to God. Now in John chapter 11 verse 4, these words of Jesus. It said, but when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God. Why was Lazarus sick? It was for the glory of God. Why are you facing what you're facing? It's not because you'll live a defeated life. It's not because the Lord's wanting the devil to win over your life. The reason each one of us face what we're facing is because God's wanting to bring forth or reveal a greater level of his goodness into our life. And some people just take every trial, well, God's just trying to teach me something. No, God's trying to do something. We always pull it mentally, and God's always working spiritually. God's just trying to teach me. No, God's wanting to do something. God's wanting to use this situation that I'm facing to inspire my faith to where I will believe him to do something great in my life that will bring glory to God. Amen. All right. And that's Jesus' response in John 11:40. He says, Jesus responded, didn't I tell you, if you would simply believe, you could see God's glory. You would see God's glory if you believe. That's why we're faced situations where our faith has to be used. Because God's wanting us to be able to see his glory. What are you going through? What needs are happening in your life? What did the devil try to do to your life this past year? God said, I didn't allow the devil to do that to destroy you. I allowed the devil to do that so you would believe me. And I could do something more wonderful in your life than I've ever been able to do before. We're learning to simply trust God. That's my test. Learning to trust God. The sixth thing is, we're prepared through a strong, obedient heart. If I'm going to receive a greater measure of God's glory, God's going to do it. God's going to teach me greater levels of obedience to him. Now, this I want to talk to you very quickly through the little story of Esther. It said, for this hour was I born. To bring glory to God. When Esther said that, she was facing the hardest ordeal possibly of her whole life. Her whole race was on the verge of being annihilated. But she knew that she was facing that hour because God wanted to do something wonderful. God wanted to do something miraculous. The reason you're facing the hour you're facing is because God wants to do something truly wonderful. God really wants to do something miraculous. And God had to allow us to get into situations where our faith would be tried and tested and where it would take a greater faith, where we're going to have to dig much deeper than we've ever dug before to find the faith to believe God. So God will be able to turn this test into a testimony, to where God will be able to turn this trial into something victorious. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is in the business of building great testimonies of his glory in all of our lives. That's what the workings of God taking place. In Esther chapter 4, verse 14, it said, for if you keep silent at this time, that's what she was told, relief and deliverance will rise to the Jews from somewhere else. God said, if you don't believe me, I will cause somebody else to have to believe me. God said, if you're not going to take your trial and let it produce a glory, then God said, I'm going to have to step over you and I'm going to have to find somebody that will believe me enough facing your same thing to where they will know that God is still alive and that God still loves his children and that God will help them. That's what happened here. Mordecai spoke to her and said, if you don't let God use you, if you don't believe God, God will cause a miracle to come through somebody else because God's going to let his glory be known in this earth. Amen. Amen. And then it said, and who knows whether you've not come to the kingdom for such time as this. I believe that's the way we have to face every trial. Lord, I've come into this kingdom for such time as this. Lord, I was born to face this. I was born to believe you in this. I was born, God, to trust you in this. I was born. And then I want to quickly mention to you, God's preparation for his glory. There is a preparation in each of our lives that we have to, if we're going to move into a closer presence with the King. God prepares us. God works in us. Now, when Esther, for her to be able to approach the King, it took her a full year of making preparation. The Bible said that for a full year, she was before a lady could approach the King, they had to give themselves to myrrh for a year, and then they had to give them for 6 months, and then they had to give themselves to perfume for 6 months. Now, myrrh is that it was used in the anointing oil. We don't have time to talk it, so wish we did. But there must be preparations that God's doing in our lives privately if God's going to do something miraculously publicly. If God is going to do something, there must be a time of preparation. We must allow God to work in us. And a lot of times it's going to take, it's how we handle our sadness, it's how we're handling our downtime, how we're handling disappointment. That's what myrrh is talking about. Myrrh isn't an embalming fluid. It's what you put on a death. But when myrrh was placed on Jesus, life came out. Praise God. And the Lord wants you to learn to face your situation, not with the same discouragement that you've known, not with the same way you've handled in the past. God's looking at your life. And if you won't handle, if you won't believe God, God will step over you and find somebody else that will believe him. But you've got to know, no, I don't want God to bypass me. I am here for God's glory. That's why I was put on this earth. I was put here to face this situation so I could believe God for him to do a miracle. And so others would know that God is still real and God still loves them and God will help them too. Amen. Romans chapter 9 verse 23 says, in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared before for glory. God has prepared each one of us for glory. That's what this scripture says. We think we're facing this and we don't have enough to face it. I'm telling you, you got enough to face it. The grace of God is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. You have enough to face it. You have enough. You have enough. Somebody said, Jerry, you just don't know how tired I am. You don't know how strong the Holy Spirit is then. Because God has allowed you to enter into this because God has already prepared you for this glory. He's already made the preparation in your life. Amen. It's like we're seeing through a glass darkly. But we have to learn to live life like that because what you can't see, then you have to believe in your heart. You've got to come to a place that's just like Abraham was, to where the less I see, the more I'll believe. The less I feel, the more I'll believe. And that's what the Bible says. We look into this thing through a glass darkly. Oh, if we could somehow clear the glass and we could see the miracle that God's coming through. No way, if we could just clear the glass and if we could see that God's going to work this thing out. But God said, you've got to believe to be able to see my glory. There must be a first preparation. Number 7 is we're prepared through spiritual eyes. I'm here to tell you, it's not as it appears. That's what the Word of God came to me, was given to me earlier this year. Jerry, it's not as it appears. And that's hard to believe when you're looking at something eyeball to eyeball. When you're feeling the pain in your body, when you're looking at the troubled marriage, when you're facing the rebellious children, for you to stand in that situation and say, it's not as it appears. I believe God is working something far greater. I believe God is working for greater. For a light affliction, the Bible says, which is for a moment, is given way to a much greater degree of his glory in all of our lives. I got 2 minutes. Let me close with the last little story I wanted to share with you. I think about great expositions of God's glory. I think about the great expositions of God's power. We just look at them in the Bible and we're so amazed. I can see Jehoshaphat walking out with his little hands raised to the sky against the enemy that was innumerable to be able to count them. But he walked out what looked like seemingly to his own death. And the Bible said when he began to praise God, God began to miraculously fight for him. And God completely defeated the enemy himself without one hand. The only hand was the hand that was raised to God. I see Moses on the mountain with his hand raised to God and the battle raging in the valley below. The Amalekites, the fierce fighters fighting against the Israelites that had only been bricklayers. But the Bible says that every time that Moses' hand would raise, God would win the battle. And then I think about David. And that's my closing one. I think about David facing Goliath, and little shepherd boy, so untrained and skillful fighting in any kind of way. But there he stands to an exposition to all that everyone will be able to know how great God is. Because the little shepherd boy is fixing to lay down the mighty giant warrior of the Philistines. Skipping back just a couple of verses from that moment, David is giving Saul the reason that he knows that God will win for him. He said, because Saul, I was a shepherd boy, and there came out a lion to try to take my dad's sheep, and I slew the lion. And said, then there came a bear out to slay my dad's sheep, and I killed the bear. And so I know God has been preparing me all the time. For today, all will see and be able to give glory to God for what God is about to do. But David said, my private battles, me allowing God to win for me when no one else knew, me allowing God to handle the upheaval in my emotions and upheaval in my desires, and me allowing God, me wrestling those things in a private measure, has now qualified me to see God's glory in public view. Can you say amen? So I want you to know, if you're facing that bear, and the word bear, what it is from the word slow words. You may be fighting that bear in your life now. It's slow words from the enemy. Maybe the enemy has had a chain of words going in you ever since you was this high. Maybe the enemy has constantly been telling you of your lack of worth and your lack of value. Maybe the enemy has constantly been showing you what you're not and what you will never be. But your willingness to fight that struggle when no one else sees will qualify you to fight Goliath when everybody will know of how great God is. Now, he fought a lion, Charles. The word lion comes from the Hebrew. It means a fierce fight. See, sometimes it's slow words, but that enemy's been trickling these words into our life like a small moving stream. For years and years, he's been trickling these lies down through our mind, and we've got to get a hold to the grace of God to defeat that bear. Others are in a fierce battle. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Some of you are in a hold of the devil. It's going to take a violent struggle for you to break free, and no one will know it. And then the devil will tell you, why are you fighting this? Why are you doing this? Nobody will know. But you know, and God knows. And so you wrestle things off of your life that's tried to take your life down and tried to pull your life aside. But you've been willing to fight. You've been willing to lay in your bed and fight that doubt and fight the unbelief. You've been willing to lay there and fight against the devil to where that you would win. And you say, but nobody knows. But God says, I know. I know of every private battle you've ever fought. And God says, I'm getting ready, Ray. I'm getting ready. Subdue some things in your life where everyone will know how much I love Ray. I'm getting ready to do some things that are miraculous. When I was preparing this message, I just felt I need to close with this way by asking you as far as any kind of altar call. There's some of you that's involved in that battle of that bear, just like David. And you need to make a firm decision from this moment forward. I will not give validity to the devil's words anymore. I will not allow his words to have a place in me because God's watching me. Others don't know that private battle, but God does. And I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to fight those words. Then others of you, you're fighting a tremendous battle with a lion. He's trying his best to place his teeth in you and so mar you and so destroy you. What you've got to do, you've got to fight him valiantly. You've got to begin to, as just the same as the bare words, you've got to begin to take hold of God's words, and you've got to begin to slay that lion that's come to destroy you. I believe with all of my heart, God wanted me to close by asking some of you to do this. Some of you have been a pincushion for the devil. You need to tell the devil no more. Some of you have been so chewed by the devil and so fierce battles, you need to tell the devil no more. The Lord let me know to tell you this. He will stand with your words. If you will stand up in his authority, God's prepared you for this glory. God's prepared you to do this. If you will stand up in his authority, God will honor your words. If you will begin to tell the devil, you can't do this to me anymore. You cannot do this to us anymore. If you will begin to rise up in authority and begin to speak that back to the devil, God says, tell him, Jerry, I'll stand with their words. I'll stand with their words. Some of you that's been mauled by the enemy, if you want to join me in speaking, tell the devil no more, I want you to simply stand with me this morning. If you've been going through things that you need to make that stand. You need to do that to allow God's glory to find a greater expression in your life and for God to miraculously move. I'm just going to simply lead you in that little statement that I just said. But that statement is so full of power. I want you to say with me, I want you to say, devil, what you have done to me and what you have done to mine, no more. In the name of Jesus, I draw the line against what you've tried to do in my life. No more do you have the right. No more do you have the power. No more do you have the way of destroying my life. In Jesus' name, amen, for the glory of God. Hallelujah!